Thanks for the intro. Yeah, like Paul said, I have a degree in counseling from DTS, and then I am a licensed professional counselor intern. So I'm licensed through the state of Texas and working on my full license, which takes a very, very long time. It's 3,000 hours, so I'm almost halfway. So I have been taught on the disc and using the disc and training with the disc for, I guess, a few years now. But I am no expert by any means. So if you guys, a lot of you have probably already taken it through your workplace, maybe through ministry. So feel free to be interactive and give input. But basically, the disc is a personality test. It only has four letters or four answers that you can get. And it's based off of two quadrants or two measurements of personality, which I have on here. So it's temperament, where you get your energy from, or also your level of stimulus is extroversion versus introversion. So extroverts want external stimuli. They get their energy from other people. And introversion, researchers have found, have a lot of internal stimuli already going on inside of them. So that's why they don't need a lot from the external world. So they kind of keep to themselves, more reserved, and they get their energy from being alone. So they have to step out and refuel before engaging with other people. Often people think introversion means shyness, but not necessarily. A lot of times they're correlated, but they're not the same thing. So you can have a shy extrovert who, even though they get their energy from other people, are terrified of public speaking, or you can have a shy introvert, which is kind of an interesting combination. And then the other scale, which is going horizontally, is your orientation, I guess, with work is a way you could describe it, whether you're task-oriented or people-oriented. Another similar test that people use is the Myers-Briggs test, which you've probably heard of, and both of them are great. The Myers-Briggs is actually probably slightly more reliable. It's been very well researched, verified by tons of other research, but it measures eight different aspects of personality instead of two. So it's a lot more complicated to explain in 45 minutes. So I like to start with the disc. It's kind of a good foundation, and then you can go to the Myers-Briggs from there. And Myers-Briggs also measures extroversion and introversion, but then it measures a lot of other things that are kind of explained in the task and people orientation. They kind of look at it from different angles. So both are great, and disc is just easier to remember. If you ask people and they say they're a CD, that's easier to remember than ESFJ. Or all the other combinations that you can get. So DISC is a great start, but I encourage you to look at the Myers-Briggs as well after this if you just love personality tests like I do and just want to know everything about everyone. But it's really helpful because it's just really applicable to life. Once you know your letters, it helps you with work, it helps you with friendships, family, spouses, children, which is what we're going to get to, and it's just, it helps you interact with other people better. The more you can know yourself, the better you can interact with others, and the better you know them, the better you can work together. So hopefully this will be really helpful for you guys. One thing to note is these areas are not sides, but they are scales. So these, both of these are on a spectrum. So a lot of people look at this as like a web or a region. So I'm a CD, so I could be here, so not very introverted, but pretty task-oriented, so I could barely make it into the C region, or I can be down here. So I can be very introverted and almost to the people orientation, but still task on the task side. So I'm a CD, and my friends, I have multiple people that are also CDs, and we look very different. So it can be a range. On both of these measurements, both of these scales. So you can be a D way up here. You can be, you know, as far from people orientation and introversion as possible, or you can be right down here and be pretty mild and close to all the other things. So you may have a lot of letters in common with a lot of people, but it, the dynamics of it look a little different depending on where you are on the spectrums, if that makes sense. One thing to know is if you get opposing letters, that usually means something is off because say you are task-oriented and introverted, if you score a CI, that means you're saying you're task-oriented and introverted and extroverted and people-oriented. So you're everything, which is kind of bizarre. So often people say that if you score opposite diagonal letters, it means one is probably what you've been forced to become or what you think you should be, and the other one is what you actually are. So if you get polar opposite letters, maybe try to take it again. Maybe have somebody that knows you really well take it for you, and it might give you just more insight into kind of what you really are. Another thing to note is that often we have a work disc and a non-work disc. Our jobs, if we are not in a job that matches our personality, we often have to become something to fit our environment. So some of you, if you're in leadership roles, management roles, you may be a high introvert and be way down here, but you're forced to be more like a D because you have to lead people and run meetings and talk to people and conference calls. And, you know, it may force you to show more D qualities, but that's not actually what you are when you just are alone being yourself. So it may be hard if you're looking at it from the work environment or just at home, you may get some different answers or you may find different pulls toward it. Another thing to note as we go through the different letters, sometimes some of them seem better than others. So I am a very high C or a beaver or a melancholy. They have lots of names. And I never wanted to be a C. These are like the organized, routine people. Like, we're not fun. And I never wanted to be a beaver. So I was never proud of being a C. But I think one thing to know is all of these letters have beautiful strengths and beautiful weaknesses, and they're all through the image of God, and we all reflect God differently. And so to learn to celebrate your letter and the strengths that you have and knowing that they are unique, that I can bring things to the table that an I cannot. They cannot sit down and look at data for hours and organize it all like I could. I would be happy. They would be like running around, looking around the room for something fun to do. So it's just good to know that none of these, the test isn't made to where one is better. They're all good and they're all God-given. And same with your children. Your children are going to be in different letters and they're all going to have beautiful gifts and weaknesses. And the more we can learn about them, the more we can help them to grow and become the best versions of themselves. And the other thing, too, is as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. So our weaknesses can be rounded out. Our edges is like is what I like to say. He helps hone our strengths, and he helps us modify and better our weaknesses. And so all of these strengths and weaknesses and letters can be spirit-filled, spirit-controlled, which is really neat. So I just say that to encourage you as you look at your weaknesses on the following pages. So if you look at the first page, it kind of has this graph on the top. And each of these letters also have names to them. So for some reason, people have taken these four categories and given them a whole bunch of different names. So I've put them as reference points on the paper and on here. I will probably refer to the letter and then the temperament, which is choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholy. Those are from Carl Jung, who was a psychologist long ago. So that's where those words came from. And then people made it into animals for some reason, and then people made it into colors when referencing to children. So you can look at this if you get confused, and over time you'll be able to kind of connect them all together. But the letters are the easiest to me. So if you look at the thing on the first page below with the people, I love this because this is what each person is looking for when they're interacting with someone. So a D wants it done now. They want action. They want results. An I wants it to be fun. An S wants assurance. It's all about the people. They want to know everybody's having a good time and they have approval and belonging and they're a part of a community. And then a C wants facts. I just want the information. I want the details. That's all I need. Don't give me anything else. So let's turn over and look a little bit more at the characteristics. So the second page is just kind of an overview of each of the different qualities. So a choleric is a D. These are strong extroverts. These are your leaders. They have dominant personalities, take definite stands, they are doers, and they want things done their way as soon as possible without excuses. They are not very empathetic. They're very goal-oriented. They're very driven. They don't do well with emotions. If I had a, and as a melancholy, I'm a C, I'm very emotional. So if I have a choleric boss, they're not going to like my tears. If I start to cry, this is the person you don't cry in front of, because that doesn't mean anything to them. And that sounds harsh, but that's just the way that is. And if you look down, strengths, determined, strong-willed, independent, productive, decisive, practical, a visionary, able to lead people, optimistic, courageous, self-confident, active, goal-oriented. And then weaknesses, unsympathetic, insensitive, sarcastic, unforgiving, arrogant, critical, prejudiced, haughty, crafty, can't relax. Yay. How many D's do we have in here? Yay! A few. Awesome. Yeah, so these are the people. If you look on the next page, there's more of the strengths at work, their emotions, their leading as a parent, and then the next page is their weaknesses. And I give some examples. So the person I automatically think of as a D is Donald Trump. He is like truly 100%. I would put so much money down on him scoring a high D on the disc. He's a leader. He takes charge. He knows what he wants. He goes and gets it. He's not very empathetic, good and bad, but he is a strong D, and that has amazing pluses and some weaknesses. So I don't know if he's actually taken it. All of my celebrity, they're all kind of guesses. So it's not actual results, but when I think of a D, I think of Donald Trump. And if you can hang these personality types on a person, either that you know or maybe a celebrity that you think of, it helps you kind of categorize what this type of person looks like. This was also my dad. My dad is a very strong D. As a kid, when I was emotional, he would just be like, "Why are you crying? Stop crying," you know? And I was like, "I can't help it," you know? Like, it's who I am, you don't understand. But he is very much, he's a go-getter, and he's a management, and he's very successful. And so if you have somebody like that, it helps you kind of categorize who these people are. And I like the summaries at the top of each of these explanations. So for choleric, it says the extrovert, the doer, and the optimist. It's kind of just little things to help you categorize and summarize these qualities. Any questions about choleric? Does anybody have anybody in their life that fits this? Or maybe if you are a D, are you like, yeah, that's me, 100%? Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. What'd you say?
Married to one.
Awesome. Yes. Great. Some weaknesses that they have. Like I said, dislike tears and emotions. Can be cruel, blunt, and sarcastic, kind of insensitive. And it's not necessarily on purpose. These people aren't like devious and evil. It's just kind of, that's just not how they operate. They're not a feelings-based person. So it's just, they're just not in that register. They're just seeing the action and the tasks. So they're all about getting things done. It's kind of like blinders. The feelings don't register in the same way as with like a melancholy where that just oozes out of us. So, and then a lot of times when you're talking with a choleric, if you're arguing with a choleric, it can be very difficult because they believe wholeheartedly that they know what's going on, and it's hard for them to understand that like they've done something wrong or somebody might think differently. It's just, they're just very strong-willed and they see things, and that's just where it goes. Another person I think of, which I don't actually know for sure, but I think of Michael Phelps. He is like the most driven person I've ever seen in my life. He sees a task and he goes for it 100%, no questions asked. When I think of that drive and that goal and doing whatever it takes to make that happen, that's what I think of is a Phelps mentality. And then an example in scripture would be Paul of Tarsus or Saul. You can kind of see it in the way that he leads. I think of his missionary journeys, the things that he did and the time frame that he did is kind of insane. He had a goal and he went and got it. If you look at his interaction with Mark, he just drops him, right? Like, you betrayed me. I have a mission. You're not on the same page. like, I'm going to move forward and you can go do your own thing. It's not a very sympathetic, empathetic interaction. It's kind of like, you have your own goal, I have mine, I'm going to make it happen and I'm going to do my thing. All the best to you. And then you also get to see Paul in Scripture as the Spirit uses him. He uses his strengths as AD to glorify the Lord in the missionary journeys, in his writing of a million books in Scripture. He definitely takes charge and completely changes the first century church. So Paul is a choleric. Yeah. Any other cholerics that come to mind? Maybe in your personal life or celebrities or just ancient historical figures that you hang your hat on when it comes to choleric or a D?
Your parents? I mean, I guess like what a parent is, the influence of their children to some degree, right? The environment. I mean, you're kind of like born who you are, but your parent influences who you become.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little bit of both. Most psychologists and researchers would say personality is usually set pretty early. It's just what God gives us. You can even looking at babies, you can see these different temperaments. There's the really relaxed ones. There's the really emotional, higher temperament, the ones that keep to themselves, the ones that boss other kids around. You can kind of start to see little inklings of their personality. But I do think the type of parenting does have an influence on them. So my supervisor for my counseling license, she is a high I, so she loves people, she loves life, but she had a C mom, very organized, rule-oriented, this is how it has to be done, it's my way, likes things to be orderly and the same and detailed. So she is very organized, and she kind of adopted a lot of that mentality. She keeps her house very clean, her closet is color coordinated. That's not an I tendency at all. So she kind of adopted some of that because it was kind of enforced on her, and then she kind of saw the practicality of it as she went on and got older. So you can influence your kids and kind of give them some of the other traits for better or worse, depending on your letters and your children's. So the next one is melancholy, which is a C. So these people are task-oriented, and then they tend to be more introverted. So these are the people, they want it done correctly. If they're going to do it, they want it to be done right. It's all about being right, which is kind of in production. It's also in morality. These are the high moral people. Like, they're not going to speed just because you're not supposed to speed, not because of cops around. They're the person that will turn a friend in for doing something wrong because it's wrong, even though it might hurt their friendship. Like, that's the right thing to do. They have a very high moral compass. They don't like to break the rules. They're not very flexible. They like routine. They like organization. And this is the person that, like I said, is commonly a researcher, computer scientist. They are great with numbers, details, tons of data. They can categorize it, take it all in, organize it. They're great at making things more efficient. You have somebody in your organization, they're automatically going to be looking at ways to make things more streamlined, to make things better. They take in the rules, but at the same time, they kind of want to make them better at the same time, so they can be anarchists and submissive at the same time, which is kind of funny. But they're high moral, so if they think their morality is, like, they kind of go together. So if you're not following the better morality, they're going to try to change the rules to make it better. So these people are also the artists, the brooding artists. I think of like Van Gogh and Picasso, just all these emotions. They're usually very creative, which is an interesting pairing with the analytical side. These are your painters often, your musicians, your artists. They're very emotional. They're in touch with their emotions. Like I said, I cry to movies. I could probably cry to a commercial if I really wanted to, like just got really into the story. I know some melancholies that cry at greeting cards. There's a few that I know that, like, they just think about puppies and they just get so happy they just start crying. Like, they're just really in touch with their emotions. Their emotions fuel them. They're serious, genius prone, that's not me, philosophical, artistic, self-sacrificing, conscientious, idealistic, at work, schedule oriented. They like to work by themselves. Micromanagement. If you have a C and you're a boss, do not micromanage them. Just let them go and be and do their stuff. They kind of see the problems. So oftentimes because they're highly emotional and they analyze everything so deeply and they see like the problems in things, they can also be prone to depression because they see everything wrong. They're analyzing everything just without end and they have all these feelings about it. And so sometimes it leads you into this kind of darkness. And I put as an example, I think of Eeyore when I think of a melancholy, just kind of like, you know, just mopey and emotional and kind of pessimistic. And that's what it says at the top, the introvert, the thinker, and the pessimist. They're faithful, they listen to complaints, so they have a lot of compassion, but then they just like to get stuff done. They're kind of an interesting combo. And then the example in scripture is Moses. If you look back at his story, he kind of complains a lot, doesn't really want God to make him lead. And then God ends up using him to lead Israel. Like I said, weaknesses, they can be very self-centered sometimes because you're so in yourself thinking and analyzing and brooding that you can kind of be ignorant of other what's going on with other people, even though you're compassionate. These are the parents. They have very high expectations. They love their kids. You're devoted. But you can also have very high standards because you like things a certain way. And you're kind of a perfectionist. So you can put that on your kids sometimes. And I'm a C, so no judgment. And sometimes our expectations are too high because of what we think should be done. And then sometimes we can withdraw. Cs are more are introverted typically, so they can kind of just go off and isolate. How many Cs do we have in here? Yeah, oh, a lot, wow. Okay, party people, most of them female. Are there any male Cs? Yeah, hey guys. I've noticed that typically females seem to be more C oriented. I don't know why, but just something I've noticed.
Are you joking when you just said party people?
Yes. Non-party people. Planning party people.
Yes.
Risk management people. That's what I should say. Yeah. yeah. And then the other example I used was Einstein. There's a lot of theories about different C people. A lot of people named Bill Gates. It's also, you're kind of guessing because like Bill Gates is leading a company. So he could very easily be a D as well. Or maybe he's forced into that role. So we're all kind of just guessing. But Einstein, a lot of the artists, we kind of think of as melancholies. The next one is phlegmatic, which is an S. This is the introvert, the watcher, and the pessimist. So these guys are introverted, but they're people-oriented. And this, I love the animal description of this as a golden retriever. Because when I think of dogs, I think of loyal, one-on-one, they're just there for you, and that's kind of what an S is. They're the best friend. They're steady. They like routine. Their temperament is pretty even. Like, they don't get super angry. They don't get super low. They just kind of coast. This is my brother. My brother is going to live till he's like 115. He's never angry. He's never sad. I'm sure he's sad, but like, it's not the depths of what a melancholy can go to often. I've seen him yell one time in my entire life. Like, he's just good. And he kind of does the same thing. He has a routine. He's consistent. And he's just happy. And he's easy to be around because he's relaxed. He's go with the flow. They're just, S's are easy people to be around, and they're the easy children. Oftentimes, they can be forgotten because they're so easy. Like, if you have a D and a C and an S, your S needs the least amount of attention because they're just kind of they're just going with it, you know? They're fine. If you tell them what to do, they'll be like, okay, yeah, no big deal. But these guys are going to cause trouble potentially, and your I is probably swinging off the trees somewhere trying to jump off the roof or do something fun. So Your S's are the least trouble, and as parents, you are very easygoing. You don't get phased by things easily. So often you're fun parents in the sense that, like, your kid is eating dirt in the corner, and you're like, it's fine, you know, like, they'll be okay. It's all good. So you're an easygoing parent. You don't freak out easily over things, and that makes you a fun parent to have as a parent and a fun person to parent with. And it's great if you balance out these guys, because we have high expectations. We can be more controlling. So it's always good to have somebody on the fun, relaxed side to kind of balance you guys out and make a good team. They're good under pressure. They're consistent. They're often quiet and calm, patient, jack of all trades often. They're never in a hurry. Enjoy watching people. This is kind of the big one, is the watcher. This is what I think of. They just kind of sit back and observe. Just kind of let people have fun. Just kind of hanging out, you know? Do we have any S's in here? Yeah. Awesome. Nice. Welcome. Welcome to the party. Inoffensive, good listener, easy to get along with, competent, and steady. So the S stands for steadiness, and that is something that helps me remember what an S is. They're just chill. I call them mellow. They're just our mellow friends. And then examples of this, Abraham in Scripture is our mellow phlegmatic. And then Gandhi, very steady, very consistent, peaceful. And then also Mr. Rogers. I love that they're together. He's just enduring, you know, he's there for you. He's supportive. Yes. Yeah. No, not Lucas. I don't know what Lucas is. I think Lucas is a D. I think Lucas is these, but I think he's DC. Yeah, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which is funny because he's an ex-Marine. But, you know, the sweater, he's there for you. He's encouraging. That is a phlegmatic. Some of the downsides, they sometimes avoid conflict. You know, not super motivated to do things. Like, they're kind of at their own pace. Everything is good. My brother drove my dad, who's a D, absolutely insane, because he, in college, he would just forget to pay the water bill and the electricity bill, so his lights and water would turn off. And Robbie was like, it's fine. Like, I'll go and pay it at some point. And my dad's like, why don't you pay your bills? Like, just pay them. It's not hard. And so, but my brother's just like, it's fine. And we call it Robbie time. I think he's taken like 2.5 years to remodel his bathroom. Like, just good. You know, he goes and uses the downstairs bathroom. Yeah, it's not a problem. It's just good. So oftentimes it's hard to get them to do things, to finish things. And then sometimes they can be worried. They do not like change. So this is your kid. Like, even though they're steady, if you swing something on them, they're going to have a hard time adjusting because of the steadiness. You know, they kind of just go with the flow. So if the flow changes, they kind of don't know what to do with it. So, and same with the parent. You know, it takes a long time to readjust. And then the last one is an I, is a sanguine. That's our far corner. They are people-oriented and extroverted. So these are your party people. This is the person that gets the party started. They walk in the room. They know everyone, or by the end of the party, they are going to know everyone. It's all about new experiences, liveliness, adventure. They want everything to be fun. So, yeah. I always just think of a group party, and this is the one that's like, hey, you know, they just know everybody and just love life. And then your C's are off in the corner, either like playing Pokemon Go or having a like intellectual conversation about something really, really deep, like astrophysics or something. And then these guys are probably leading some sort of game or voting on something to happen at the party. They're trying to make something happen. And then your S's are just kind of watching everything. You know, just like, meh, you know, just along for the ride and just enjoying it. But your eyes, it says the extrovert, the talker, and the optimist. So life is good, love life, grab it, you know, grab the bull by the horns. That's the sanguine. They're appealing. They are the wooer. They're the charmer, enthusiastic, cheerful, wide-eyed, and innocent, live in the moment. They don't plan. You just go and do. and experience and enjoy life. You know, like I want, see, eyes are cool. Everybody wants to be, I think eyes are cool. Probably because I'm a C and it's like the furthest thing from me. So I'm like, that sounds like fun. They volunteer for things. They're creative, energetic, enthusiastic, great with friends. This is the person, like, if you need sales is great for an eye. Everybody loves them. They're so fun. They're going to get you a lot of business. They love people. They apologize, and they just don't like dull moments. The downside of this, they kind of need a lot of change, so kind of keeping them focused on one task for a long period of time can be kind of difficult. Like chores, if you have an eye child, getting them to finish a chore, good luck. Unless you make it a game, then you might have a shot. My cousin, when I was a kid, convinced me that there was this game where her carpet was lava and I had to help her clean her room by not stepping on the carpet. So I basically cleaned her entire room for her by making it a game without touching the lava carpet. So that would be a great example of getting an eye to do their chores. Yeah, they kind of are unorganized since they live in the moment. They don't really plan ahead. So they're kind of a little frantic, not necessarily organized. They might forget things, to do things, might not be able to find stuff. And that's just not what is important to them. You know, they want spontaneity, they want adventure, they want to be with people. So that those details just aren't really, that's secondary stuff for them. And these people are just fun to be with. You probably all, either you are this friend or everybody has this friend. Like my friend in college, like crazy stuff would happen to her. I only did fun things with her. She would like get me to not study and relax and like enjoy college. And she's awesome. And I'm so thankful to have that person that can just be fun and encouraging and get me to try things. I mean, so I'm a CD, and Elijah, my husband back there, is an IS. So we are polar opposites, but he gets me to try new things. And I like sushi now because he takes me on adventures and makes me try new things despite everything I do to try not to. And so it's just good to have that adventure person that makes it light and fun. Brings people together is often a big thing. They know this person, they know this person. They bring everybody together. Do we have any eyes in here? I was about to say, I know one already. Really? Oh. Turmoil. That's so interesting.
I screenshotted my scores so I could remember.
Yeah. Well, something fun that Elijah and I recently did is we took it for, well, I haven't taken it for him yet, but he took it for me. So taking it for your spouse, it's kind of fun because you get to see their perception of like what you are to them, which is really interesting. I still got a high C, yay. And then that might also help just to kind of maybe give you a different angle as to kind of who you are. So, and maybe getting coworkers to take it, because like we said, you can be different at work. So maybe how people perceive you at work would be kind of interesting too. So the last part of this, if you look at the last two pages, people, like I said, they took these four letters and made them into colors and referencing to parenting. So it's looking at, okay, if you're a choleric, you're a D, that means you're red. They made it a red color. And so as a red parent, it guides you through how to parent your different types of children. So if you also have a high D child, you guys are probably going to butt heads because you both want power, you want to lead, you want to reach goals. So just trying to help them do that, but also gain, you know, have authority over them and have them listen to you. You know, there's just all these combinations. So it's saying, okay, I am a melancholy, so I know that I'm going to be intense about routine and organization and having high expectations for my kids. So if I have a phlegmatic that's really chill, I could potentially go absolutely insane because I'm trying to enforce the stuff on them and they're just kind of chilling. So if I go in knowing like they're kind of going at their own pace, they're going to do their own thing, you can adapt your style to that child's personality. So like I said, a sanguine is yellow, allowing it to be fun, trying to make everything fun that you do. C children, very sensitive. So if you're a high D, you need to know, let them vent, let them be emotional. You're not gonna understand it, maybe at all, but just saying, okay, I'm gonna let you vent, I'm gonna listen to your feelings, try to be empathetic and be there for you because that's important. C children, also really high guilt and shame. So this is the kid, like, you ground them once and then you never have to ground them again because their guilt conscience is so high that any disappointment, like, that you don't have to do much to get them to do what you need. You can just say you're disappointed and it'll hit them really heavy and then they'll be good to go and get in line. So my dad said they spanked me once, and then just the threat of it was enough to keep me in line the rest of my childhood. And then you have probably the I's and the D's probably need a little bit more discipline because the I's are probably a little bit crazier, and then the D's are very strong-willed, so you're going to have a harder time trying to get them to follow you. Can anybody, like, speak on, okay, I have an I child, I'm a C, we've had these kind of conflicts, or maybe potential conflicts you can see through the different personalities?
Yeah, I'm a D, and my oldest is a C, and I don't get it. I cry all the time. She's like a delicate little flower.
Oh.
That's wonderful, but it's really hard for me to be like, okay, cry again. And, like, talk through it and let her feel her feelings.
Mm.
So, that's, and then I also have an I, and you're right, like, insane. I mean, like,
yeah. Yeah, these can be your rebel children, and they're not even necessarily trying to be rebels, at least when they're young. They just want to have a good time. You're stifling the fun.
Yeah, this has been eye-opening for me. So I'm a D-dad. I'm married to a C-wife.
Uh-huh.
And I have a 14-year-old I-boy and a 12-year-old S-boy.
Wow. Yay, God. Sanctification, that's what we call it, yeah. Oh, man. So have you seen any of these, like, polarizing or, like, conflicting with each other, trying to get them to do things, or how have you seen it play out?
The 12-year-old S-boy, I mean, he's like, it's amazing. I mean, his favorite thing is, you know, let's go. Hold on, that's his two favorite words. And then and we were laughing to our I-son. He swings from the rafters all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, he is ADHD, so it's interesting that you probably have a lot of ADHD kids.
Yeah.
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 Especially they don't
take
their
Yeah. No, that's a great observation. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's finding that balance as parents, which y'all know much better than I do, but of helping them be themselves and harnessing the best of them, but also not encouraging the weaknesses. So, like, your kid that's overly emotional. I mean, there were moments where, like, that just wasn't, like, I was crying over something that probably wasn't important. And I was being overly dramatic and learning that, like, I need to learn how to regulate that. That's important. And so my dad telling me, like, don't cry right now. Like, I have to learn that I just can't cry and lose it and fall on the ground at any moment, at any time. You know, you have to learn to self-regulate. And so it's finding that balance of, like, you know, and I guess the God gives you discernment of, like, okay, I'm going to let them feel in this moment, and then we're going to try to say, okay, we got to rein it in because of A, B, and C. You got to go to school. You can't just cry all day long at school. I guess you could, but you probably wouldn't learn very much. So it's kind of that balance of encouraging them, but then also, you know, shaping them and disciplining them in who they are.
Question.
Yeah.
I've never heard the C as an emotional. I've always
really?
Been either feeler or thinker. An I is a feeler, a C is a thinker.
Mm.
And so I'm interested, because you've studied it a lot more in depth, that you're saying C's are so emotional. Because to me, I are super emotional, over-exaggerate everything, feel a
interesting.
Lot, they're feeler. So mm-hmm. how does that work? I don't understand.
I think it's the introversion is often the emotionalness. So I think it can be, so if you're up
so
here.
The thinker that's emotional? Because thinkers
yeah.
are often, usually one or the other.
Yeah, typically. I think C's are analytical and they're detail-oriented. but they're also emotional. But I think it also is on the range of their introversion, because I associate the emotionalness with the introversion, because you're like all within you and analyzing, and usually more in touch with what's going on inside of you.
It's
not necessarily
emotional in general, it's more of a deep, like almost overthinking.
Yes.
Not in a terrible bad way. And I is a feeler, emotional as in everybody let's hug and like.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
I see.
So this, the S, I think of as a counselor. Like everybody in my degree program was an S. I was like one of like three C's, which is weird. And there were a few D's and a few I's. But that's kind of that emotional support, kind of what you're saying, like emotional in being there for people. And then I think they're aware of their feelings. They're just like more steady. And they're people oriented, where these guys are analytical. Something I've noticed is C's are often very prone to anxiety because they're so analytical and so introverted that you're just in your head spinning and worrying and just deep in that. So I kind of think of, I don't know if that helps, but kind of both emotional, but kind of in a different way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a kind of an observation, I guess. We are opposites. I'm IS, CD, maybe different spectrums, but we've been married 19 years almost, and I found that over the years, I was a lot more I and a lot less S when we first got married and when we were first dating. And it seems like I'm still on that spectrum, but that's changed.
Yeah.
Becoming a little bit more toward the S side of things, which is a little less crazy and out of control.
Yeah.
And a little bit more kind of centered and relaxed. Mm-hmm. She's very, very, very organized, very introverted initially, but much less so now. So it seems like we're still in the same spectrum, still that same that same categorization, if you want to call it that, but that over time we've shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of an interesting observation, I guess, for
that's why I was saying this. I mean, God changes so much about you through what you go through in life. I don't know, like, I know I heard a marriage sermon that said, so you think you're marrying somebody and that's the way they're always going to be. There's like nine different people in there, and I don't mean like crazy. Meaning, through life, you change. Like Andy was saying, like, Julie's a painter now. She wasn't before. You know, like, through life and through, I don't know if it's just now she's an empty nester, but like, I think so much, I agree with what you're saying, that you still are in those, but that, I don't know, maybe God tempers you or,
yeah,
like you said, life tempers you, but I mean, it's obviously the Lord, but if you can, some of that does change. Maybe not like flip to a totally different,
just bring out other areas.
Yeah, and I would say too, like different stages of life, career aspects, like, you know, my job, they hired me because I'm a C. Like, I do details, I organize, I set up. But I mean, if I was put into a director role somewhere, I would be forced to do this more. And so, and I couldn't really go into my introvertedness. I'd have to be out and be with people and network and lead and create vision and all of that. And so I think jobs and parenting, I think parenting is huge. You kind of have to mold yourself to best fit what's needed. And then spouse, one of my professors always said that he thinks even if you come from opposing sides, ideally marriage causes you to be one. So you kind of blend and become the best versions of one another. So you kind of take aspects of each other and it molds you and kind of takes out your edges. So, I mean, you guys could very easily just be going, you know, towards the middle in all of these aspects to become the best version of kind of everything, which is super cool. You just become more balanced and learn from each other and grow from each other. You know, I would say very easily, like, Elijah is an S and I'm a pretty strong C, so I haven't gotten very far, but he's gotten me a little bit more to the relaxed side, you know, just learning to chill out. My friend in college that's an I would say an IS. I mean, I would have lost my mind in college without her. She's helping me learn to just let go. And so you have these people that, like you're saying, kind of neutralize you or help you become more of everything, which is kind of neat. It's kind of fun. Yeah, Sarah.
What I was going to say is, you know, I told you that I almost had an I and then the next, maybe some of the
see, but I think a lot of it is sort of sometimes out of necessity.
Mm.
I have a friend a while back, and she thought that we kind of had the same personality, and she's like, but you like finish things, and you do this, and just because of my, a lot of things, like, well, you have to, or you don't mm-hmm. ever get anything, you know, you, so like you were saying that some, like the parents that kind of gave her some of those more organized traits, there's mm-hmm. some things that, like you said, out of a job or whatever, you have to for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we want this. Well, you can't just bounce her. You have to have some of that organization and some of those grounding things to accomplish what you're looking for, so you don't just bounce around to all the different. Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't want to have fun and stuff. You just have to, you know. So I think, so you can take on traits out of, that's what works.
Yeah.
But how do we make this work?
And I think our culture, especially our work culture, I mean, these are highly regarded in American society. So these people are probably being forced to adopt some of these traits no matter what, just to survive in the workforce. You know, you have to be scheduled. You have to make it to meetings and make deadlines and, you know, create projects on time.
70% of the population
are essence. Really? 70%. Oh, wow, 70%. That's awesome. They should go to, like, South America. They'd be like, oh, these are my people. And that's another thing, is cultural. So there's cultural influences into how we become these as well, I would say. As a white, affluent American, I mean, this was kind of expected of me. Like, yeah, you're going to go to college, you're going to be organized and get a great job and be this. And I think in other cultures, other traits are more highly regarded. And so, you know, in African culture, it's much more laid back. So to be, I would say it's more okay in a sense to be an S and to be an I, to be people oriented, to not worry about time because of the way that the culture is. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things playing into it, which is what makes it really fun. So throughout the week, you can ask all your friends what their letters are and analyze them and figure them out. And I think it'd be really cool, depending on the age of your kids, especially if they're in the teen range, getting them to take it and having them start to discover who they are and their strengths and weaknesses and what they can bring to the table and the dynamic with their siblings and with their parents. And, you know, I think the more you can know yourself, you know, the more you can offer to others and the better you can serve the Lord. So it's kind of a fun adventure. I'm going to pray for us. And if you have any other questions or comments, you're welcome to come and chat with me after, but we're over, so I'm going to end it for you guys.